Tom, there's a cat between your legs, a cup of tea in your hand. It's podcast time.
What you just said made me think of something far more cruder.
That was the thing I was going for, Thomas. Let's see if that crudeness is true. It's 16, folks. 2016, to be precise. It's a new year. It's a new Tom and Matt Attack. Hello, how are you after lowering the tone?
Well, I haven't got anything furry between my legs anymore.
No, he's wandered off. Yeah. My poor corned cat.
I haven't been. Yeah, I haven't been castrated or anything.
No, you haven't yet.
Happy New Year, Matthew. It's good to be back doing the podcast. It feels like it's been a while, and that's because it has.
It has. Well, literally, like, especially for our listeners, because I need to apologise again, because I got on a plane and went, shit, I didn't actually click upload on the podcast, so I may put it as an unreleased bonus episode before this one, so if you see that, then don't be surprised.
Oh, so it isn't up there?
It isn't up there, it isn't even in
the cloud. The one before Christmas?
Yes.
Oh, I put it up, it was a pretty good one.
I'm going to do it, yeah. Don't worry, it'll go up before this one.
Yeah, the lost episode.
Exactly, that's what it'll be called. You can make the graphics that look like the lost world.
Ah, yes.
I'm sure we had a really good episode title for that one as well. Like,
I know we did, we in the process it in of it. The show.
Yeah,
I
but think. It's going to be called The Lost Episode now. Okay. Maybe I'll give it a subtitle, who knows.
Wow, gives it some mystique, doesn't it?
It does, oh god, it was such a good episode, we had such laughs! No, how was your 2015 end of, Tom?
Oh,
your Christmas.
Oh, my.
Your New Year's. And
I have to
jazz.
Say, it was lovely. I was back in the UK for Christmas. And I have to say, I've come to the conclusion that Christmas is my favourite time of the year.
I would agree.
Because I don't have to do anything or think about anything or worry about anything. You know, I can just sit down, eat biscuits, watch films and not worry or play games and not worry about anything at all.
Yeah, I watched films and played games and read books was more my thing. I didn't really play that much. Obviously, my consoles and stuff were here. I played a few little Game Boy Color games every now and again because I got a load of Game Boy stuff that I won't mention on the podcast, otherwise we'd be here all day. So I was just playing a little bit of that every now and again. But it was mainly just like going out, having a look around, doing a bit of shopping, eating very nice food.
Yeah, I mean, other than lazing around, I did see friends I haven't seen for a while and family and...
Yes, I met my niece for the first time, which is very nice. So, yeah, it was all in all, good holiday.
Yeah.
How was your New Year? What did you do?
Oh, I had some people around and we played Rock Band 3.
Three!
And what an experience. I'd forgotten how good the Rock Band 3 experience was until picking all the instruments back up again. And
did you dabble on your keyboard, tinkle
Yeah, the keyboard was out there and there were a fair few people. Oh, I'd never seen one of these. Never tried Mike, Blackford Process. Mike Davis. Oh, I never had one. I'd go on this.
Yeah.
And he was loving it. People having a sing-song as well, and we also played Egghead's card game
that
my girlfriend had got for my dad for Christmas.
I would just want to punch the opposition because I dislike the Eggheads.
Really?
A great deal.
Well, they weren't really there. The Eggheads on the show weren't there.
No, I know. Just, I assumed so. I assumed you were playing.
You don't come with the card game. You know, they don't just come over your house.
You probably could.
Come to the phone
probably
number for you to call Chris up because he lives in Crewe,
yeah.
I think, where I come from.
I don't think he's doing very much on New Year's Eve, so you maybe you could
probably play him over.
Yeah, probably
card game, yeah.
Against his family and winning.
Oh yeah, no. The thing is, if you're an egghead, no one want to play any sort of kind of general knowledge quizzes with you, would they?
Well, no. I mean, I imagine that's probably why they became eggheads because they were probably on like pub quiz teams or something. I don't know. I just like that show. Pointless was my jam when I was home.
Ah, yeah.
We had to get in for 5:30 to watch Pointless.
Seriously?
Yeah, seriously.
I tell you what my favourite show is back in the UK, Dinner Date.
Dinner Date? I haven't seen this. Oh. So they are calling for entries of Dinner Date in my hometown. So
really?
Yes.
What a show. I mean, you know the basic premise of it, isn't it?
It's just you
there's
go
one
for
person who picks a menu. So there's like three different suitors who want to...
Impress.
And find the love of their life. Or a bit of... never works out. It never happens.
No,
it
never
does.
They
tell you that they never saw each other again.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much.
Every episode.
Every episode is the same.
Right. But then the guy or the girl, depending what week it is, they choose three menus. Oh yeah, there's like more menus, like five menus or six, and they choose three from that, and then they go over there, and then it's very entertaining.
I just always love the really depressing thing at the end of it when they don't get picked after that, and they get like a pot noodle.
Yes, yeah, they get a ready meal.
Yes,
and then some people take it better than others.
Yeah,
you know. This one guy today, you know, he comes with a ready meal and a rose, and he threw the rose on the floor.
Yeah.
And then took the ready meal in.
I saw someone get a Rogan Josh, and he was very excited.
So there we go, dinner day. Not quite the highlight of my Christmas, but...
No, but up there, certainly.
It was nice. I was enjoying watching episodes of The British Empire.
The what?
You know, The British Empire, a British sitcom about Chris Barry plays... Mr. Gordon Brittis, he's the owner of a leisure centre.
Oh, yes. Sorry.
Yeah.
I thought this was a new thing then. I was like, what? You watched it? No, it's good.
What a great show.
It is from what I remember. I haven't seen much of it.
The funny thing about that is I used to watch it as a kid, but I remember liking Mr. Brittis, but now watching it now, I can appreciate the comedy more because it's quite adult.
Yes.
It's really surreal at times, and it's really held up. He hasn't aged badly at all.
No.
Great show.
I think a lot of British comedy tends to not age badly. Like, I watched... I realised, like, recently, like, I watched Spitting Image a lot when I was a kid. And obviously, like, way too young to understand what the hell Spitting Image was. And I remember having to go to bed, like, for a nap on a Sunday so I could stay up to watch Spitting Image so I wouldn't be too tired for school the following day. And, like... I can't remember anything of it other than really liking how grotesque the puppets were.
Yeah.
But, like, honestly, like, everything else about it flew over my head. But, like, my parents were like, yeah, I'm a Spitting Image. Yeah. Probably explains why I am the person I am. But, yeah, very odd.
But maybe we should stop talking about television.
Yeah, probably a good idea. What have you been playing, Thomas? What have you been buying? Which one do you want to do first?
I'm just going to say
the...
Can I say the big one?
Go for it.
I decided to buy an Xbox One.
Yeah, because you're a fucking crazy person.
And maybe I hinted this in the last podcast that no one's heard. That
I think you did.
Picked up a couple of Xbox One games on the cheap.
I really can't remember in the last podcast as well if you kind of did your breakdown confession thing that you did to me of like, I bought an Xbox and then I cancelled it. I was afraid.
For those who don't know, I bought these couple of games for like a fiver each here in Denmark. And bargain. You know.
Yes.
Dead Rising 3, Sunset Overdrive, bargains, and I was like, well, give these to friends or hang on to them for when I eventually get an Xbox One. They were sitting there, and I was thinking more and more about getting an Xbox One.
Oh, man, I remember your initial pitch of why you were buying those games. It was just like, these would make really nice Christmas gifts. I can give these to people who I know back home or you who have Xbox Ones, and they'll really appreciate this. Nah, I'm going to buy an Xbox One. They're mine.
So I think the evening I picked up those games, I went on Amazon.
You did.
And I bought an Xbox One before bed and I couldn't sleep because I was like, I've made a terrible decision.
I remember seeing him work the following day and he was just like, oh, I had a bit of a weird moment last night. I bought an Xbox One and I was so panicked that I had to cancel it.
Yeah, because the only way I could get to sleep.
Yeah.
But when I came into a little bit of extra money, I decided just before Christmas that I'd just go for it.
Yeah, why not?
I wasn't going to miss the cash in this circumstance, so I was like, I bought the Master Chief Halo one. I say it's the Halo 5 one, there's nothing Master Chief about it. It's Halo 5 themed. It's a lovely looking console.
Oh, nice. You got that one. Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, a nice controller as well. It's got a kind of shiny turquoise colour running through it, but it's silver and black pretty much.
That's cool.
It makes those Halo sound effects when you turn it on and you put the disc in.
Swish.
So it came with Halo 5 and also a copy of Forza 6.
It makes Halo sound effects when you turn it on.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. That's I don't know what awesome. The sound effect is. I can't think what it is now, but it definitely makes special noises.
That's really cool.
You can tell because the quality of them is a bit muffled.
Ah, okay. I was on board with it until you said that.
But it's a nice looking console and I was never a fan of the Xbox One aesthetically because it's a big thing, it's a big brick. The PS4 is a little bit more sleek.
I don't like the look of the console. I've talked about this before. I really like the grip around the edge of the thumbsticks.
Yeah,
I really
the
like
thumbsticks are much better than on the PS4.
Yeah, but they seem to wear down a lot faster after picking up friend Jordan's one.
I would have preferred the PS4 to have the same rounded thumbsticks the PS3 had. Because yes. I picked up a PS3 controller recently and was playing a few games, and that was a lot more comfortable. Anyway, PS4 controller, not bad at all. Played Destiny with this morning, very good. But the Xbox One controller really has the edge, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I like the spongy triggers. I like the extra rumble in the triggers. I just like how it feels in the hand. It's similar to the 360 controller, but feels a little bit more refined.
Have you done the insane thing yet and bought one of those Elite controllers?
No way. It's never going to happen. I have no problem with the controller as it is.
I fingered one on my time at home because a friend of mine had one, and it's pretty good.
Okay.
I could see myself, if I was to go that
route, with
all
your paddles, attaching your bits and pieces, and
maybe getting one of those. And
maybe when they go cheap, when they're getting rid of them, because no one's bought them.
They sold out everywhere. Really? Over Christmas. You couldn't get one for love nor money. They were going on eBay for about £300. The people want these. These are very nice controllers.
I'm not that seriously into. I can say I'm not that seriously into gaming to warrant buying one. But I mean, it's for competitive gaming, isn't it? Really, for maybe if you want to have the edge over your opponents.
Man,
online.
The fact they got there's an app where you can customize all of the sensitivity of the triggers and That just seems insane to me that you can customize the controller to that level. You can also do it on the PC as well, though. So you can.
It's interesting they went for this angle, because I think the Xbox One feels like a premium piece of kit already.
I think the PS4 does, though. I don't think there's
I think the presentation of Xbox One feels a little bit more expensive. I think the controller feels a little bit more expensive.
I can't stick by this. I love.
I think it's the sticks.
The PlayStation 4 controller is a much better controller. I don't like the cumbrance of the Xbox One.
I'd give it a bit more time.
Like I said, I really like those thumbsticks. I just PS4 controller for me is the perfect controller.
Fair enough. I have to say one thing: the PS4 definitely has the edge over the Xbox One with is the dashboard. Yeah, if they just stick to the 360 dashboard, that would have been absolutely fine.
Yeah, but I mean, they kept fucking up the 360 dashboard, didn't they? Let's be honest.
But they got it good in the end.
Well, I mean, the reason the Xbox One dashboard is as it is, and I mean, apparently they've improved it since it's come out.
Yeah, I hear that, but gee.
But I mean, it's still got to work with Kinect. It's still got to do all of this shit that they said it would do on day one, even if they've stripped all that functionality out.
Basically, what I want to be able to do is when I turn it on, I want to find my games and just access the games easily.
Yeah, in fairness, you can't really do that well on the PS4 either.
Well, you have to go right down to the bottom of the screen, first of all, and then find the games. And then you get into the game screen then. Or if you want to look at your friends and your achievements, you have to scroll left on the screen, bring up this extra kind of menu that pops up from the left. That's got. I guess, as I'm talking about, it doesn't sound so bad, but in practice, it just feels a little bit cumbersome. And then you've got loads of other screens as you scroll across.
Yeah.
And some of that's just entirely dedicated to television, which is, if there's a way to customize it to delete that screen, that would be nice.
Yeah.
Because it just sits extra stuff between that and the store, because the store's in there as well.
But again, I think, as I said, a lot of this cumbrance and all of these things now comes from the day one project. And promises of hey, we're gonna have TV integration, we're gonna have this, we're gonna have that,
and that's the name. I guess that's where the name comes from as well. All in one, Xbox One does everything. And if that's the purpose you're using it for, great. If you just use it as a games console, then the PS4 has that kind of sorted out. It knows really what its purpose is straight out of the.
I think they pitch in 2 or 3 years, maybe even more than that, maybe 5 or 6 into the future. I think if they release this kind of all-in-one thing as their next one, then it would have been fine. But I mean, who watches TV anymore? You just get Netflix now. I know a lot of people do, but I mean, most people I chat to...
You can't watch Dinner Date on Netflix, can you?
Yeah, well, you can just watch it on the iPlayer or whatever, can you? There's ways around doing all of this stuff. The ITV player and 4OD and all of this other stuff.
There's something to be said about TV, that things being on certain times. But as you said before, rushing home to watch pointless.
Yes.
You didn't have to necessarily, because you could have watched it on iPlayer.
I mean, I could have watched it.
Something about watching it that time of day, it becomes an event, and we're sort of losing that now.
It was just something nice that was both of my parents would be home from work at that time. You'd have a cup of tea, sit down, and chat with people.
Yeah, it's the time for this thing. Anyway, what are we on about? Xbox One.
Xbox One.
Okay, so the games maker console. And what have I played on Xbox One? Well, I've played Halo 5.
Yeah.
Which I say has the edge over Halo 4 for me personally. I wasn't taken with Halo 4 at all. Go on.
I haven't even heard it's as good as ODST is my...
Really?
I hear Warzone is a very broken mode.
I haven't tried a multiplayer, really. I tried a bit of Flag. what's it called, capture the flag.
Yeah.
But then I went in the single player, and so far, three missions in, I'm finding this to feel more like the Halo I remember from playing Reach quite a lot.
Yeah.
In terms of just how it plays out a little bit more.
Okay.
I like this idea of working as a team. And, you know, you get to know the names of different characters, like you did in Reach.
Yeah.
And then if you get hurt, they come and help you if you ask for assistance.
Yeah.
And that's, yeah, I really like that about it. And I'm imagining you can play through multiplayer as well with friends online in story
mode. I assume so. There's probably a co-op. I would assume
co-op,
there is.
Yeah. But yes, really impressed with the set pieces and the atmosphere. Feels very Halo. Felt very hectic at the beginning. They're throwing a lot at you.
Yeah.
Very next gen. Very nice looking game. Any other games? Forza 6 has been my standout game this Christmas.
Okay.
I'm a fan of racing games. I'm a fan of the Forza series in particular. And this feels fantastic, Xbox One. Especially the rumble and the triggers, just the general presentation, the way it plays out, the extra things they've added, like the mods before.
Yeah.
You can purchase mod packs, and that's a random set of cards you get. You don't know exactly what you're getting, but you can use them before the race to get a better grip. And
but this is the
like
thing
this.
That seems to be rampant in all of Microsoft's games at the moment, this card system. I mean, it's present in things like Battlefield as well.
Mm.
But I even hear it's in Rise of the Tomb Raider, which I'm very surprised you haven't bought, seeing that's probably the big marquee Xbox One
exclusive.
Yeah,
but I'm probably
going to
get it on PS4 when it comes out. And because I'm hoping it'll be a definitive edition.
Probably.
On PS4. And I don't need another Tomb Raider game because I haven't finished the last one.
No, it's true. Oh, yeah, shit. I guess you didn't play that this time when you go home, even though it's your go-home game.
It's my go-home game, original Tomb Raider on PS3, but no. Didn't play it this time. Too consumed with the Xbox. Played a bit Killer Instinct. That's very good. Well, it's very good, but it's...
So you're not running out to buy a Mad Cat arcade stick anytime soon, then?
No, I'm not sure if I like... I mean... If you remember what the old Killer Instinct was like, very combo heavy, and this definitely ramps that up with a lot of new systems, which are a little bit confusing at first. I think I have to play through the training to get a better idea of how to do it, because you can break combos and stuff and special techniques for doing that, and you have these super moves, which I haven't quite worked out how you do yet. I've been doing them, but I don't know how. So, you know, it's just a fighting game that's got its very unique kind of system.
I've got to be honest, I've never really liked Killer Instinct.
No?
No, like, I played Gold a few times, and that was all right, but, like, I think I was so loyal to Street Fighter at that time, where we had Street Fighter, and Street Fighter was the game I used to play with my brother a lot on the Super Nintendo. I think I got Killer Instinct a lot later. I think I picked it up, like, when the N64 stuff was already out, and I could convince people in school to sell me Super Nintendo games for cheap.
Okay. No, I've got... Same here. I haven't been as into Killer Instinct as Street Fighter or King of Fighters or anything like that. But
and to be honest, like a testament of how much I don't really care about Killer Instinct, I don't actually own a copy. Like all of my Super Nintendo games and stuff I bought back then, I never really got rid of. But Killer Instinct, I just had no attachment to. I played it once or twice.
Maybe the characters aren't as strong, perhaps. I'm trying the story mode on it. There's not really much of a story mode to speak of.
No, of course.
But as the Xbox One Games of Gold giveaway, I was very eager to try it as being an exclusive as well.
Yeah.
I've got Sunset Overdrive. I haven't played that yet. I've got Dead Rising 3. Played that a lot like Dead Rising 2, in my opinion. But it confused me a little bit because you have to double tap B to pick up things. And I thought you only have to press it once the time before.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking it was very unresponsive for ages. I was wondering why it wasn't working
just
properly.
The
but yeah, I got to grips in the end. And I'm looking forward to... I've got too many games, you see. I got a lot over Christmas. Not only Xbox One things, a couple of PS4 games.
I think I got about 100 games over Christmas.
My lord.
I'm kidding you.
So what are my general impressions of the Xbox One? They're good. I like it. I don't like the main system, but I like everything else.
It's all right. Like, when they drop a few more exclusives, I'm contemplating buying one. I have no alliance to either console, really. Like,
no,
whatever I can play games on,
you know,
I can play games on.
That's a really nice feeling, because even though I didn't particularly have one, in a way I did, because I'd chosen the PS4 and I was very adamant that was the only console I was going to get. And I was feel like I was becoming maybe a PS4 guy.
Yeah.
And I'm just a guy who likes playing games.
Yeah, same.
And I don't think to really define my interest based on a system.
To be honest with you, I don't really want to drop any money on a new console either, because the rumour mill is that we will get a new Nintendo console this year.
Oh, there's that as well.
Yeah.
I mean, it's nice to be able to enjoy all the different experiences, and there's something fun about getting something new and exciting at Christmas, and that was part of the whole deal of getting the Xbox One. But I'm happy with it. Yeah.
I contemplated the investment recently until the price was announced actually of an Oculus Rift.
$600.
$600, and that translates to £600.
How
often
are you going to use an Oculus Rift? That's the
thing. You've experienced Oculus Rift. I've also experienced an Oculus Rift. I really like it.
I think it's a novelty. I don't think it's something I'd be playing every day.
I think if I had one, I would play with it a lot. I'm waiting for PlayStation VR to say their announcement. But I know it's not, like, it's the weird thing. Like, the Samsung thing that I've forgotten the name of seemed kind of nice when I tried that. Mm. Valve's thing involves you having an entire room, from what I understand. Valve VR, like, you need sensors and shit in your room. I haven't got space for that. Who has, really? But PlayStation VR, like, it seems okay. Like, reviews seem positive. But at the same time, it's powered by a PS4. So, like, I think the experiences I would get there would be lesser than with the Oculus, which is requiring, like, a fucking ridiculous cost of entry of, like, a PC worth, like, 900 quid. But at the same time, I think that would safeguard you for a long time. And I would also get the benefit of being able to play a lot of these games that have come to consoles now, with a much higher frame rate and a much nicer resolution, and I could also play a shit ton more games, and also could double as an editing suite. So, it's a yin and yang, but it's such a big upfront investment that I'm not really that bothered. No. I don't like PCs.
I'd like to do the Oculus experience, but I'd prefer it in more, if arcades were still a thing, you know, if you go down the arcade and have a quick go on the Oculus, that would be quite exciting for me. It's not something I feel like I want to purchase and have in the home, but be able to have access to it.
One of Marta's ex-colleagues, a guy called Milan, a Hungarian dude, my girlfriend Marta, that is, for podcast listeners, he had one, an early dev kit, and he was using it for, like, flight sims and things. I think I've talked about this in the podcast before. But he's playing things like Alien Isolation and first-person shooters through the Oculus. And he really loved it. He was using it all the time. Mm. He said it really brought gaming into another level for him when he had it, and it wasn't him justifying the price, because I mean, he only paid the 300 or whatever it was for Kickstarter backers, but he really loved it. He liked using it, and he still took it with him. Like, he put it in his hand luggage when he moved away from Denmark, because he didn't want it to get damaged or anything. So there is a whole level of immersion there that I really liked, and I could see the potential of when I got to play with it at EGX like 2 years ago. But that initial investment cost is way too high for me at the moment. It's like, that's...
Well, you know, when new things come out, they are a lot of money. They do eventually.
No, but it isn't even like... It isn't even the £600 for that. It's the PC you need to run it. Like, I was listening to Giant Bomb and Giant Beastcast this week. And, like, these are people who have PCs and are talking about, like, playing things like Bloodborne and... Maybe not Bloodborne. I don't know if Bloodborne's on PC. I think it's only PS3. But, like, games of that caliber, like, new next-gen releases, like Just Cause 3 and this kind of stuff on PC at, like, good specs. And then they're saying that their PCs aren't equipped for Oculus. And I'm like, you're a professional who plays games on a PC as your standard platform, and you can't run this. Like, it's probably closer to £2,000, I think, an investment. I don't want to pay that. That could get me a very, very nice editing suite.
Yeah, it sounds like the that PlayStation VR thing is a good option for console gamers if they want that.
I think it'll be a nice gateway
experience
into it. But
if it's as good,
price,
I don't know. If
that's the thing. Yeah. The demos are apparently very good. The pulse coming out of E3 seemed to be... we also have some colleagues who tried it and said it was very nice.
Okay. So, and does beg the question, what will Nintendo do? Will they do something similar?
Have you seen the patent floating around for, like, what Nintendo patented a couple of weeks ago?
No.
It's essentially a controller that is a screen.
Sounds like the Wii U.
No, but, like, I'm literally talking like it's like a traditional PS... Well, this is what the patent drawing is anyway. Obviously, that could change and it could be something different, but it was pretty much... It looked like a PlayStation 4 controller, but the entire thing was a screen that just had buttons on it, and these buttons weren't assigned any values or anything. They were just there. So you could press buttons, you could still have touchscreen interaction and play games on the screen.
Yeah, but the buttons, what, they were in the screen?
The thing looked like a it looked like Minority Report.
Right.
It was just this transparent thing that was all a screen, and the buttons were built into that screen. So you could...
Or were they getting way of the image?
I have no idea. Like, it was just a patent image.
Yeah.
But, like, everyone was saying, like, oh, this could be the NX controller, but it could also be the handheld module of the NX if it is to do that whole handheld slash reality home console thing where it's a hybrid. But it just felt very bizarre. But I don't know how it would work. I don't know if it would get in the way. But they also said that it could just be Nintendo patenting it because they bought the technology to safeguard themselves.
It's a great mystery of gaming right now, what Nintendo are up to. And it's quite exciting.
Man, I really want to know. Like, can you imagine if they come out with, like, a more powerful console? Because, like, they've said, like, they've got, like, the chips they supposedly have are very high-end chips.
Yeah.
So, like, theoretically speaking, they could have the more powerful console than both Microsoft and Sony.
Let's see.
They would have to backward engineer their games to go on the other consoles.
It's interesting because I remember when the Wii U had come out and Nintendo justifying why they'd not gone for a more powerful console was because they wanted to keep the console small.
Yeah.
They wanted to be able to fit in to your setup very easily. Instead of having to make massive space for it, just kind of go in there, replace your Wii in a sense. Really,
yeah.
But yes, they'd have to go against that if they were really, unless they found a way to make something as powerful as maybe the Xbox One or PS4, but in a much smaller package, which is inevitably what will happen with those consoles eventually. Nintendo may be the first to do that, but will they push it any further? They may again have to make it bigger if they wanted to do that.
Yeah, agreed. It's an interesting thing, isn't it? Like, it's always very exciting to see what Nintendo do. I'm interested. Like, I can't really put any words to it. Like, I think, to be honest, like, from what it seems at the moment, like, the Xbox One and the PS4 are barely managing to live up to what games creators need them to do.
Really?
Yeah, well, I mean, like, look at some of these bad console ports. Like, Fallout 4 is supposed to be really fucking glitchy on the home console compared to the PC version. Just Cause has also got the same thing.
But it's like, I've played games on like Forza 6, which feels fantastic.
But I mean, like, these are console games that were like 2 years old. And I mean, in defense of Forza, I think it does look like a very good game. I think even like Halo 5 looks like a very good game. Like, the fact that runs a solid 60 frames a second is also amazing. Like, that they.
There's 24 cars in a race on Forza. Yeah. Now, with all the graphics going on, it's quite impressive.
But apparently, like, other developers who aren't the people who are, I think, maybe necessarily working with it and having, like, a better version and then having to port it over, they're having problems. You can make very specific types of games, but I mean, like, Sony have apparently unlocked their 7th processor, which was there for system stuff and after games developers. So there's obviously a problem. I mean, when these consoles were announced and their specs were, people were like, you could buy a PC for that price. Like, you could buy a PC of the same specs for the same amount of money, and you could get much better PCs for a little bit more. Mm-hmm. So I think, like, 2.5 years into this console launch, we're now seeing that these things maybe aren't as good as they should be.
It's an interesting experience playing Destiny this morning, and Destiny looks like a slightly older next-gen game now to me. When you get up close to textures and things, and
well, it has to be. It's on the old consoles too. Like, they can't push it that far.
Yeah, yeah. It was funny because, you know, you get used to a certain standard, and then you go back to something like Destiny. And as impressive as it is, you know, it's got a lot of draw distance and a lot of things in the background. And
I mean, like, a lot of Destiny's perks of its visuals are in that Bungie is generally just very stylish. Like, a lot of their games just look beautiful.
A lot of work's gone into the look of Destiny. And also, just I forgot about this morning how tight those controls are, how effortlessly enjoyable Destiny
is. That game
is
amazing.
To play.
That game plays very well. It's just a pity there's not that much content.
Yeah. So, Matt, we went from Xbox One to Oculus
to NX
but we've not heard much about your Christmas and your gaming experiences over Christmas.
Well, to be honest with you, I got an absolute shitload of stuff that I've already thanked the people, so I shan't go into it here. I got a lot of Game Boy Color games. I got a big parcel of other goodies from a few various people, and I just kind of I took the time to kind of sit out and just kind of put in these new Game Boy Color games. I think I mentioned it before, and that I was thinking of going for a full Game Boy Color collection now. But it seems like a much easier feat than going for a full Game Boy collection, to be honest with you. Like,
it's after you've made a massive milestone of collecting everything on Game Boy, you're still wanting to go on. You're not exhausted by that experience.
Not really. No. To be honest, like it seems like an easier task as well. Like,
but you don't have to do it now.
I don't have to do it.
You've done what you set out to do.
I'm not going at it in the same tenacity that I was perhaps with the Game Boy. I'm just buying games every now and again. I actually managed to pick up a wonderful boxed copy of Moomin's Tale. It's a bit skagged on the front. Like, obviously someone's pulled a price sticker off of it. I paid £20 for it. Like, the going rate for that game is like £200. It is essentially the trip world of the Game Boy Color.
Yeah,
I've already got that, and I got it boxed. And I'm just like, you know, these deals are out there because no one gives a shit about this console. So I'm thinking,
I know that feeling. Like, you see something that's of a good value, and you snap it up, don't you?
Yeah. But I mean, like, I've picked up a load of really nice, like, boxed games. Like, I picked up a copy of R-Type DX for a tenner. I picked up a copy of Stranded Kids, which is the Konami game that became Lost in Blue, for a pretty nice sum as well. Like, it just seems a lot more obtainable than perhaps the Game Boy was. And, like, I'm seeing people now go into Game Boy collecting who are like, oh, where should I start? And I'm like, I don't know if it's probably worth going for a full set now. Like, prices of games that I thought
since
were obscene.
Since you started?
Trip World's like a £300 cart now.
Yeah.
Like,
and when was it when you started?
Well, it was around the £80 mark. I paid €80 for it, so I paid like closer to about £60. And even then, like, you were looking at me like I was a crazy person. I know people are paying £300 for it. It's a beautiful game. It's one of my favorite games. But, like, just the cost of boxed games and the cost of everything and the fact
but it
that
wasn't boxed, was it? Your Trip
my World, copy no. wasn't. No, Tom, I'm talking like £2,000-3,000 for a boxed copy of Trip World now. that game was like £100 when I first heard about it, and I was like, I'm not going to pay £100 for Trip World. Like, this looks like a really nice game, but I'm not going to get
especially when you can buy it on the eShop.
Yeah, and I mean, like, that was a lot after there was £100. Like, when it came on the eShop, I think it propelled it a bit more into people's faces, and then it started to slowly rise. But it's just kind of because it's got this label attached to it that it's a rare game and it's pricey, that it's just shot up in price. It's annoying. Like, it's such a great system, and obviously I'm going to continue doing the Boy graphic, and there are gems out there that you can get for certain prices. But, like, games like Tailgater, Natsume game, which isn't very good, I got it off someone in a trade for like a fiver, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just, you know, I think I bought it. I think I got R-Type 2 as well for around the same price. R-Type 2 is now about £40 for a cart. Like, Tailgate is like £70. I don't know, what the fuck? Like, they're not even like. R-Type 2 is a brilliant game, admittedly, but
it's on R-Type DX.
Yeah. But, like, these games are just going up in price. And, like, for cart, like, people are demanding Super Nintendo prices. I'm just like, these games maybe aren't worth this price. Like, I think a lot. If I had started it now, I probably would have given up.
Wow.
I think, like, the cost of a full set of Game Boy games has gone up an astronomical.
Game Boy Color is a little bit more financially viable.
And don't get me wrong, Game Boy Color is more financially viable because there is a higher shit percentage on Game Boy Color games. Like, some of the Game Boy Color games I was gifted, I've played, are absolute garbage.
Yeah.
But then there's just some weird stuff, like WWF Attitude is a side-scrolling beat-em-up.
Oh, it is, that's is it?
Actually all right.
Wow. Who do you play as?
You play as either Triple H, Stone Cold, The Rock, I think there's someone else.
Mankind?
No? I can't remember.
Undertaker.
It's not Undertaker. maybe it is Undertaker. Undertaker would make sense, but in my head it wasn't. But, like, there's things like that out there for it that I'm like, I've never heard anything about this game. This is actually pretty good. And I'm just kind of curious. It's kind of given me... it's a lot less frequent of going through this massive pile of games and going like, this is an absolutely amazing game that I've never heard anyone talk about like it is with Game Boy. But I mean, like, I'm averaging picking up games. I bought some games when we were in Germany and Vienna for like 50 pence. Like, you're not getting that kind of value anywhere. And they may not be the greatest games, but at the same time, I'm willing to pay that to experiment.
What does it look like? How many games are it's Game Boy Color games?
466, exactly the same amount as Game Boy.
So it's maybe slightly cheaper endeavor, but there's about the same amount of games.
Yeah, but I'm in no rush to do it either.
Yeah.
Like I said, a lot of the titles on there are shovelware. Like, I'll see what goes.
Yeah.
I've started.
Well, you don't really collect much else, do you? So.
No, not really. Like, I tend to buy Game Boy Color games. I've been buying a lot of PS2 stuff, actually, which is what I'm going to talk about next.
Okay.
Recently, you kind of started this new trend off of you giving me a copy of Street Fighter Alpha Collection for the PS2. But I'm not really going after PS2 games either. I'm not going to pay more than charity shop prices for those either because they're out there in sparing.
It's interesting. I go through the same thing myself, phases of collecting for certain systems.
Yeah.
Just recently, it's been the GameCube.
Yeah.
I looked at my shelf at my GameCube games. I've got a few, but you know, there's a few gaps in here. There's a few GameCube games that I'd like to get. Maybe they aren't even exclusive to GameCube, but I'd like to have these on GameCube. And there were some I picked up over Christmas.
Yeah.
Dragon's Lair 3D, Samurai Jack, and GoldenEye, Rogue Agent. I also want to get Tomb Raider Legend on GameCube.
You should also pick up Beyond Good and Evil.
I've got it on GameCube.
I need to get it on GameCube. Yeah. I got it on Xbox.
Yeah. But you want it on GameCube specifically because...
I want it on GameCube just because the backwards compatibility and ease of playing it. Like, I could just download the one for 360 now, but I mean...
I prefer to play games... If I got a choice between playing the PS2 version or the GameCube version, I would... normally go with the GameCube version.
Yeah, agreed.
Actually, because it just feels slightly sharper, better for some reason.
Yeah, usually. Well, I mean, it's a more polished console, isn't it? It's more powerful. I mean, also those games, much like the Wii U now, and it's kind of the same problem with the GameCube, they need to be built for that console rather than ported, so there's usually tighter.
GoldenEye Rogue Agent's on two discs.
Really?
I can't imagine it's on PS2.
I got a few games like that are on two discs.
Resident Evil 4 is on two discs.
It is indeed. Resident Evil 1's on two discs.
Yeah. Just because those GameCube discs don't hold as much data, do they, as a regular?
No, they don't, obviously, because of the size.
Yeah.
And they're not DVDs either. They're just regular data CDs. But it's impressive, nonetheless.
So, yeah, I picked up a few for my GameCube. And you're picking up PS2 games now.
Honest, I've just kind of... I think I'm at the same stage where you are with your GameCube library, with my PS2 library, like... I got to the stage where I've almost got like 200 games, I think, now for the PS2, which is an insane amount, but I think I've almost got everything I could possibly want for the PS2.
I'm the same, as you say, the same.
But I mean, like, what does that tell you? Like, the wealth of that library, there's like 2,000 games, and there are over 200 of them are probably some of the best games ever made. Like, it's just solid level of quality there.
There are a lot of good games on PS2 because there is a lot of games on PS2.
Yeah, that's true. I guess, you know, like, law of averages is probably the same hit or miss ratio as any other console.
Yeah.
But it's just really nice stuff. Like, I brought back games like Akami. I brought back some of my JRPG collection for that system, like Dragon Age. Mm-hmm. Dragon Age? No, that's...
Dragon Age, that's not...
Breath of Fire, Dragon Quarter is what I wanted to
Quest.
Say. No,
Breath of Fire, Dragon Quarter, sorry, yeah.
And also my Dragon Quest 8, 7, 8, no, 7. 7, 8 seven. Was a DS
Sevens,
game.
Sevens,
yeah. Yeah. One. There's lots of stuff for that console that's just insanely, insanely good. And to be honest with you, like, picked up some stuff today. Like, 5 krona, again, 50 pence, I paid for Shin Megami Tensei 2 Devil Summoner. Devil's Summoner on the PS2. And also I've forgotten the phone. I haven't got it next to me.
It kind of sounds like Shinobi, but it's not Shinobi.
Yeah, it's like Shinodo or something like that. But I mean, like that.
I've not seen that about so much. I'm not so familiar with that game.
Neither am I, but I mean...
You also saw Shadow of Rome in the wild today.
I did see Shadow of Rome.
I can recommend.
I saw... Death by Degrees was there.
Not so good game.
They had Final Fantasy X-2 there, which is also not a good game. There was loads of good stuff in this PS2 pile for 5 krona that nobody was looking at because they were PS2 games. And I'm like, well, like, if this was a Nintendo collection and like games of this quality of year, everyone would have bought all the crap as well.
Yeah, I usually get quite excited when I find a load of PS2 games in the shop because I'm thinking there's got to be something good in there.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm disappointed and it's a lot of the old same stuff. But
yeah, like SingStars and this kind of stuff.
The odd one. Yeah, I was looking at how many PS2 games I've got, and I've got 240, and I can't think there's much more that I'd want on the console.
No,
but then I do see things from time to time, pick them up, but...
Yeah, I mean, but it's just so affordable, isn't it? Like, there's a few things that I'm missing. Like, I know Star Ocean, I haven't got till the end of
you
time.
You haven't got that?
No.
Well, I've even got that.
I know, I keep seeing it, though, for, like, reasonable prices. And I'm like, I still don't want to pay £8 for that. Like, chances are I'll find it in a charity shop for £1 eventually. And I don't know. I'm not that bothered. Like, my PS2 collection is probably my most guilty collection of, hey, I've picked up this game and then I'll never play it kind of thing.
Mm.
But I need to get back.
Yeah, I've got more PS2 games than I've got any other system.
Than the Game Boy. I think it's my second biggest collection. So, affordable. I mean, like, my other console collections aren't that big. Like, I'm talking about this now as if I've got millions and millions of games. Like, I've got a lot of games, but I mean, like, all of my other consoles, bar the Game Boy, are cherry picks, you know? Like, I've got, like, 10 GameCube games. I maybe got 20 at most Super Nintendo games. I mean, yeah. There's a lot more nice titles out there, but same for the NES. But, like...
Yeah, I'm like that with the older Nintendo systems. I don't have such a nostalgia for them. Occasionally, I see a game which I'm really excited about and I want to get. But, of course, as you know, my nostalgia is with Sega and Master System Mega Drive.
Yeah.
But, again, I haven't got that many of them.
No, that's, same.
Look at this, 34 NES games, right?
Yeah.
19 Super Nintendo games. Mega Drive, what have we got on the old Sega Mega Drive? 70 games, you see, you can say I've got a bit more.
God, I
don't
even think I've got that many. Like, let's fire up Retro Collection.
24 Master System games. But, yeah, it's nothing compared to the amount of PS2, Wii, Xbox, PlayStation, N64, Dreamcast. Actually, I've got 70 Dreamcast games.
None of those systems you've just mentioned, I've probably got more than tops 40 games for. Like...
Mm. And whereas me with Game Boy is right down there, 22 Game Boy games, 18 Game Boy Color games. We all have those kind of areas which we gravitate towards.
We do. I mean, mostly minor handheld systems and whatnot. But I mean, just with the cost of PS2 games, I think it is a thing that's very affordable. I mean, like, you can't even really buy a pack of crisps in Denmark for like 50 pence. So when you see a PS2 game at that price, you're like, oh, go on then.
Yeah,
yeah, so, like, obviously, full Game Boy collection now, bar one copy, which is currently in the mail. Damn, Star Trek keeps eluding me. I haven't got that many PS2 games. I got 150 PS2 games. Game Boy Color, I'm at 110. Mm-hmm. This is why I'm like, well, because of this very generous gift I got, given that I've mentioned on the podcast before, and the titles I've picked up here and there when I've seen them, and going, oh, that looks interesting. Mm. I've got a load of there. I got 70 Game Boy Advance games as well.
Yeah, I think out of all the Game Boy systems, the Advance is the one I've got most for.
40 NES, 36 Super Nintendo, and that's including American games. 34 for the PlayStation, 30 for the Xbox, actually, that's quite surprising.
Original?
Yeah. 20 GameCube, 20 N64, but that was because of that bulk lot I had like 2 years ago. Otherwise, I'd have five. I had five N64 games. I had Pocket Bomberman, I had GoldenEye, Ocarina of Time, Majora's Mask, and Banjo-Kazooie.
Mm.
6 Master System games, 8 Game Gear games, actually 9 now, and 20 Mega Drive games.
But you know, you mentioned about PS2 games being very cheap. Right now, Xbox 360 and PS3 are also very cheap. And that's what I found when I went back to the UK. I was picking up a lot of games which I hadn't got, which were just so damn cheap I had to pick up. What did I get when I was back? I got God of War Ascension for like £3. You know, they're selling that new in Sainsbury's for a fiver.
Yeah.
What else did I get? Lord of the Rings Conquest, Godfather 2, Far Cry 2, that's £1.50. You know, Velvet Assassin, remember that one?
I keep seeing that. Yeah. I'm curious about
it. Yeah, I was as well. Saboteur, very cheap nowadays. Yeah. Just a couple of quid. For Saboteur. I mean, Pandemic made some great games. That's another game. Crackdown 2 is worth nothing.
Yeah, of course.
Band Hero, 99p. It's got some good tracks on it, actually.
Yeah, or for the Wii.
No, for the PS3, because I've got a guitar for PS3. Now. I've also got AC/DC Rock Band.
Yeah.
Then I've been picking up... Mario Strikers Charged. Is that the one for the Wii? You got that one?
Yeah, I bought that in a car boot sale.
And then I've already mentioned the GameCube games, apart from Phantasy Star Online, episodes 1 and 2, which was £15. So that was actually the pricier side.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like, still, if that would have been... If people wouldn't still have this weird stigma of, like, oh, you can't play it online, it would be a lot more, I think.
Yeah, it's great that you can play split-screen on GameCube.
Though. Yes, yes it is.
Which me and Gareth are enjoying very much. I also found... This is my... Best find of Christmas. Do you want to hear this one? Killing Not killing time. That's another game. Time Killers.
That name rings
Time Killers is a fighting game, which is fairly obscure. And one that I used to look at on eBay and think, never going to buy that because it's so expensive. I found it for 20 quid.
Okay. What is this? What's it for?
Mega Drive. Although mine is the Genesis version, which plays fine on a PAL Mega Drive.
Yeah, of course.
It's a very violent beat-em-up game, one-on-one fighter, should I say, where you can chop off the opponent's limbs as you fight.
Oh, you talked to me about this. Wow, this looks awful.
It plays rather well. It's actually not so bad, considering, you know, when it was made.
The two characters, I've just seen the names of Rancid and Matrix, is all I need to know about that game.
Yeah, it's pretty good, and actually rather expensive, and I got it for a very reasonable 20 quid, which I think was a pretty good deal.
That's nice.
Yeah. But they also picked up Killing Time for 3DO. Mega Man Anniversary, American PlayStation 2 for 14 quid. So that's pretty good.
That's all right. The only reason I haven't bought that, I was going to get the American GameCube one, is because now the PS4 collection's there.
Yeah, I do know that the Anniversary collection has a few, like the arcade one-on-one fighter Mega Man on it.
It does. It has some exclusive stuff. It's also got some of the things that were on the PlayStation Japanese version, some like exclusive content of like art books and stuff. So yeah, it's a pretty good get. Yeah.
I thought that was a reasonable price for it. I got an Amiga game called Super Methane Brothers.
That sounds pretty good.
Yeah, it looks pretty good as well.
Is it about farting?
It's like you get a screen of enemies, kind of like, what's it called? Bubble Bobble.
Yeah.
And you have to kill them.
Yeah, okay.
When you've got these big gas guns and you wear these gas masks. And you,
that sounds pretty interesting.
Graphic style is very nice. Reminds me of James Pond, the style of it. But yeah, that was some of my pickups. I was a few kind of more... They're like my second-hand ones, but I got a few gifts for myself, really. Like Yoshi's Woolly World, I finally got, and Rare Replay and Tearaway Unfolded.
Super Methane Brothers looks really nice.
Yeah. That's what I thought. You know, occasionally I'll see an Amiga game, which I'm right on, and I'll have to pick it up.
That's cool.
I very casually buy Amiga games.
Yeah.
I don't generally hunt them out, but if I stumble across something...
I don't have any Amiga games, really. Like, I've got one or two.
You ever played the Motorhead side-scrolling beat-em-up?
No,
Amiga?
I haven't.
That's pretty good, actually.
Yeah. I would give that a go.
Yeah. What, have you been playing anything much else?
I absolutely caned Assassin's Creed Syndicate.
Yes, you did, yeah.
I picked that up over Christmas from Game in the UK. I was a bit disappointed because I wanted the special edition and I only got the regular one and then found the regular one for cheaper in Tesco's. So if you're after a copy of that, £25 in Tesco's at the moment, as of last week anyways.
I have to get back on Black Flag.
That's all right. I beat Black Flag.
Yeah.
Before it, I wanted to beat Black Flag before I went into this, so I did. I finished it off. It's a good game. Some of the boat upgrades and stuff you have to do, though, just sailing around killing boats to upgrade your boats, a bit of a pain in the ass, which is no problems within Syndicate. You never really get into trouble of like, oh, I haven't got enough money to do this, or I haven't got enough things to do this, if you kind of engage in some of the...
How's that main character? I've heard he's pretty cool.
There's two main characters.
Oh, yeah, the girl and guy.
Twins, yeah. Evie and Jacob Fry. It's pretty good. Just the ass-kicking mechanics of, like, I always played as Evie, even though he's supposed to be Jacob's, the brawler guy, but Evie fights with a cane.
Oh, okay.
It's like, some of the deaths are properly violent, of, like, me just looking at it going, like, wow, this is properly graphic, but it looks awesome, of, like, you have, like, there's a... It's obviously it's integrated, like built on the Assassin's Creed combat and kind of has a bit of the Batman Arkham games into it now, where it's like group fighting and stuff. I mean, it was always there with the parry system and things before, but it feels a lot more like the blows feel more towards Batman than the old Assassin's Creed. But like, you just get like kill combo things where you can have like multi-kills.
Kill
and stuff.
Combo.
And you're fighting with a sword that's a cane.
Uh-huh.
So like, there's bits where like, you like throw, like in the middle of the combo, she like throw a dagger into someone's head, like then impale that person with the cane to like charge into another person, and then like throw the other half of the cane back through that person. Like,
oh, it's a bit like, Mortal Kombat.
It's proper Mortal Kombat, but it works really well. Like, it just gives you that feeling like, oh, you know, like that action movie kill kind of thing.
Yeah.
It does wear a bit thin because, you know, when you're in a big combat situation and she starts doing loads of these multi-kills because you've leveled yourself that way.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, well, okay, great, this is fine, but, like, I shouldn't really have to fight this gang anyway. It's worth saying as well, like, it's in a big open world in the same way that the second game was in Rome and whatever. You're now in London, but you're in the whole of the city of London. There's no loading times or anything except for when you fast travel. So you're in the entire city, so you roam around it and you do all these things. It's a really good game. Story's all right.
Yeah, I was going to say, what's the story like?
There's this, kind of partial spoilers, I guess, for people who really care about the story in terms of, like, the first 5 minutes of the game. If you've played Black Flag, as I know you have, you are an Abstergo employee working at the Abstergo Games thing. Yeah. Like, but you're just kind of treated as, like, a proxy in this one where they're kind of talking about, like, oh, you're the initiate who's going to help them. So I don't know, because I haven't played Unity, if you're the same person as from Assassin's Creed 4 or not. But, like, you, this person who's kind of talked to in a webcam and every now and again between the main story bits of Evie and Jacob Fry trying to sort out London and find this assassin's object from the people before that I've forgotten the name of. This artifact of Eden. Mm. There's this weird story of, like, yeah, we need you to retrieve this thing. We need to do all these things. And, like, you see a video in, like, first person as if you're watching through a webcam. And I'm like, this is really wanky storytelling. This doesn't need to be here. Just make it Assassin's Creed 1, like, where essentially, like, the Desmond Miles stuff wasn't really that
prominent.
Intrusive, yeah, would be the word I would use in everything else. But, like, this feels really jarring because it's like, yeah, great, you're doing all these things, but, like, this is all of this action that's not going on that you're not playing. And, like, with these characters who I don't really know, like, obviously the guy in glasses who sounds like Danny Wallace. Is it Danny Wallace who voices that guy?
Could be.
I think so. And the girl are both talking and doing these sequences and stuff. I don't really give a shit. Like, you killed Desmond Miles. I don't care about these people. These were the fucking boring people around him. Like, so that stuff's a bit odd. But the gameplay is very solid. It's a very good game. It's very dense, like, very long.
I compare it to the story of 3.
Much better than 3.
Okay. Because the 3 really intrigued me when you were playing.
Probably the best Assassin's Creed game. There's still a lot of problems. There's still some issues with the free running. They've introduced now a free running mechanic. It's a free run up, free run down, essentially. So if you're free running with the right trigger and you hold X, you'll free run up. If you're holding circle, you'll free run down. Which obviously means, like, you know, if you're crossing multiple paths, it won't do that weird janky thing where you kind of jump to one object. Yeah. However, that kind of takes away the limited ability of you just, you know, like in old Assassin's Creed, you just jump off something to hope to land on something else. You kind of get this weird impasse where your character stops free running because he doesn't know if he should go up or down because you haven't selected up or down. And he's like, oh, I just want to fucking jump off to get the shards, you know, the collectibles. And then they won't do that. You do have a grappling hook, though.
Ooh.
Which is very Arkham City as well, because you could also do kind of a grapply thing in that, from what I remember, right?
I think so, yeah.
But yeah, no, on L1 you've got a grappling gun, so you don't have to really... You can get up these buildings very quickly, and it also means you can traverse the city a lot quicker.
Mm.
But it kind of takes away some of the Assassin's Creed.
Yeah.
But then again, you can fast travel as well, so I was even using that less and less as the game went on and I unlocked more fast travel things. The only thing about fast travel was you'd have to load the entire fucking city again for me to go somewhere. So I was hitting loading times.
Okay.
But all in all, it's generally good, and I've heard they're taking a year out. They won't be a new Assassin's Creed
game
this
year. I've
heard
the same, yes, which actually is a good thing.
Yes, agreed, because they can hopefully iron out some of these kinks. And obviously, the new Assassin's Creed is apparently also set in Egypt, which intrigues me.
Yeah, that could be great.
So we'll see. Other than that was all I really played. Played a bit of King's Quest, I won't talk too much about it, because other than this really long, I was expecting, because it's an episodic game, for it to be very short, like an hour experience the most. I don't know, I could play like 3 hours. I've still got loads to do, apparently.
It makes you wonder how big the Final Fantasy VII episodes will be.
Oh, God. Well, Final Fantasy VII episodes should be 3 parts, in my opinion. It should be first disc, like second disc, third disc. Yeah. Well, maybe split second disc, because second disc is massive.
Yeah.
And I mean, in all fairness, for people who've played that game, you will know the third disc is essentially you flying around doing side quest shit or just going into the creator to fight Sephiroth. There's not really a lot else on the third disc other than, like, hey, you can go do all this side quest stuff, which I appreciate, obviously, but, I mean, disc two is so long from my memory of having to get the huge material and all this kind of stuff that maybe they could split that. maybe it's all the first half of the stuff with you going, and I can't give away story details, but I can't remember the name of the town that gets flooded with Marco energy, and you have to run with Cloud at one point through it all. Before the huge material one, I'm going to say spoilers, it's a 15-year-old game. The bit where Cloud's in a wheelchair because he's kind of had the weird relapse into, like, shit, all of my life is a lie. And then you're in a town. Like, that should be the end point where you first fight Ultimate Weapon, and then it should be, like, huge material, and then all the Sethriot stuff.
I'm sure the Final Fantasy fans are really going to appreciate that, but it means nothing to me.
That game looks cool as fuck. I really want to play it.
Do you want to hear a little bit about what I've been playing?
Go for it, Tom.
I'm going to surprise you, maybe. Really into Pokemon. Pokemon Ruby.
As somebody who's just bought a Yo-Kai Watch, I'm okay with you being into Pokemon Ruby.
So, you know what? I like what Pokemon is so easy to pick up and play. You know what you're doing. Done it a million times before. There's no stress. The pace of it is slow, which I like. And you can save any time you want. The satisfaction, obviously, of leveling up Pokemon and creating a team is always there. And it's always, for me, the main meat of the game.
Stand there, train your Cyndaquil until he gets Flamethrower early, and then evolve him. Yes. Ha 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 ha. That's all I do in Pokemon games, is just grind.
It's made me think, I want to get the guide now to look at what level. I've got a Pokemon team, but I don't know what levels they learn certain moves. I want to start balancing my team. I want to start planning and
it's a slippery slope, things. Tom.
So really been enjoying that. And I bought that because I bought my little cousin the other version. I bought him Sapphire.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping we can have a little bit of a battle. Because it's always best when you're playing it and someone else is playing it at the same time. I've got 3 badges now. I need to check in with him where he's up to, but I know he's got Star Wars Battlefront for Christmas.
Are you going
to
catch them all?
That's the plan. Usually is the plan. I'm trying to catch them. Yeah.
I like those games.
It's great. He adds all the upgrades of X and Y.
Yeah, this is the thing. Like, it's that setting. It's not Radiant Ruby and Shining Sapphire, but we can live with that.
Yeah, shame the names aren't as good as they could have been.
No, exactly.
Been playing a fair amount of WWF SmackDown vs. Raw 2011 on the 360. I started playing the Road to WrestleMania mode on that, which is quite cool. You have a little backstage bit and you talk to people, and then you have arguments with the manager, be it Stephanie McMahon or the John Cena storyline is where Randy Orton takes over as general manager and you've got this kind of rivalry going on with him. And he's,
do you know, like when I was talking about Final Fantasy and he's going, oh, you're right. It's pretty much the same thing. I'll say, that's nice, that, and leave it at that.
Yeah, it's really great, you know, and it's all these wrestling games. It's had a system I wasn't used to, using the right stick to grapple and things. But as soon as I started getting into it, it became second nature, which is the same thing problem I've got with WWE 15 now on the Xbox One. The grappling system is different again, but I'm sure I'll get used to it.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just talking about the games I played the most of over Christmas. I can really recommend Tintin, the unicorn.
Yeah, I've heard that's good.
On the PS3, I've been playing that. Really great platform game.
I haven't seen it anywhere cheap recently.
I got it for $3.99 from Game.
Yeah, this is, I'm thinking, like, if I see it, I'll pick it up.
Snoopy versus Red Baron on the PS2, USA exclusive. I think there's an equivalent on the 360.
There is a game on the 360 that was all right.
But that is one of the top tier PS2 games, in my opinion. Very playable. And, you know, I've been putting these games in thinking, no, I'm just going to try them out. And Snoopy kept me playing for a while. So did Tintin. So.
Did you play the Gizmo game yet?
Can't, because the disc I've got, which is meant to allow me to play imports on my Wii, doesn't work because of a system upgrade on the Wii that discontinued that ability. So that's a shame.
Wii is a UK Wii. Yes. You've taken it home though, right?
Yeah.
Because I was going to say, I have a UK Wii there that's bound for my brother that I could trade you for it, but I got to take it home with me in January.
A UK Wii? I've got what do you mean? A US Wii?
Oh no, I was going to say, if you had a Wii, I have one there that I could have traded you so you could get around the FUMA thing, but I've promised.
Oh yeah, well, meaning if it's been upgraded, it might have been upgraded.
I doubt it.
Okay.
I don't know.
What I was thought, Devil Third was playing that last night.
You said, yeah.
Online.
Multiplayer.
Very fun. But no one's playing any other mode other than Free For All, which mystifies me. No one's playing Team Deathmatch. Not a single person. Loads and loads of people playing the Free For All.
Probably says a lot about the people who play Wii games, right? There, so they don't want to.
There's so many interesting looking modes on there, like Catch the Chickens.
Catch the chicken. And catch the chicken.
Collect fruit and throw it into a massive blender.
Is that the name of the mode?
It's something like that. And then you have to get up to level 5, then you unlock the siege mode, where you can create fortresses and build clans. And the actual gameplay is really good.
The robustness of that multiplayer system very much surprised me when I heard about all this stuff.
Yeah, that it's actually got a really comprehensive multiplayer.
Seems fucking insane. Like,
they've put a lot of work into it, and it feels really nice to play. It's kind of straightforward. The mechanics are tight, and the... you know, there's a lot of ranged combat, but then you also get really stuck in there with the weapons and just slash them up. And it's, the violence is over the top. People's heads fly off, limbs fly off. But it's Call of Duty levels of addictive online gaming.
That's interesting.
Like, with some really irritating load times between, though. Updating character data screens after a match.
Well, the fact that you're playing this like unprompted on a multiplayer game is very interesting.
Playing it because I got it Gareth for Christmas.
Yeah, no, I know you said this, but like... You know, you play. You said you played it last night.
Oh yeah, I was showing Austin. Yeah,
yeah, but I mean,
our
like,
friend Austin.
The fact that you want to play it without like a reason of like, oh, Gareth is playing
it.
It's interesting.
It's easy to pick up and play, and it's very satisfying. And I mean, you know, I'm leveling up pretty well. I'm pretty good at it, it would seem.
Yeah.
But I'm not like, there's some people on there level over level 100. It takes quite a while to level up, so there's definitely people out there who are really playing it.
Yeah.
And I'm seeing those same people every night.
Yeah.
You get perks of playing it in one day after the other.
Yeah. It's like when I played Lost Planet, I got very, very good at that game, and I was playing with the people who were level 99 in Lost Planet for a long time and kicking their ass, because Lost Planet's amazing multiplayer.
Yeah. There's a community for Devil Third.
Yeah. Well, there was for Lost Planet. It doesn't surprise
me. But how long that will last, though. Now, I heard it's on PC as well, Devil Third. It's free to play, and it's all financed by microtransactions.
Yes, it is. It's just weird how all that stuff's in the Wii U version of it as well.
There are microtransactions, yeah, that's right. But that's for equipment, clothing. It does have abilities.
Yeah.
But weapons you can buy through the money you earn playing.
Yeah, this
online.
Is why I kind of feel it's a bit disappointing.
Yeah, you can buy most of the weapons very quickly.
Yeah.
You could have all the weapons.
Yeah.
So quick.
That's what I heard.
Then it's what you choose to use. But I can recommend its multiplayer. I don't know. I've played the single player first mission. That was good. But people tell me it's not very good later on.
Yeah, you'd guess very unfair, you were telling me.
Yeah. But
it's a shame.
A game I picked up, which I featured in my video. I've got a video, haven't I? My pickup video.
You have. Harry's getting excited. Calm down.
On Blast Process. I want people to watch these. I picked up some games from our local Blue City secondhand shop. And one that was Namco Museum Remix, which you were quite interested in
hearing
about.
I'm very curious about, yeah. Never seen it before.
I was expecting to be disappointed. I was impressed. Not only do you get 9 arcade games in there, like the classics like Galaga and Dig Dug and Pac-Man and all that, you also get these remix games, which are surprisingly well made.
Yeah.
The game's all in 4:3 ratio, which is different. I didn't expect that. But it's very polished. For example, the Galaga remix game is you... They all involve you playing as Pac-Man.
Yeah, this is how, like when you're saying like Dig Dug and Galaga in there. I'm like, what?
Well, the Dig Dug is the arcade Dig Dug. There's no Pac-Man remix equivalent.
Oh, damn, because that would be awesome.
There's only, I think, 4 or 5 remix games apart from the original arcade games. You've got this X-Rally game, which is an old Namco game. You've got Galaga. You've got Pac-N-Roll, which is quite good.
I don't know that one.
And a couple more. But the Galaga one, for instance, you start off as this Pac-Man. He's a board. He's got no legs or anything. He's a board. And he goes down this ramp.
Yeah.
And he's going down this ramp. And as he's going through the ramp, the camera moves around you. And enemies in 3D, enemies fly at you in different formations. Yeah. And you point your Wii Remote at the screen and you shoot them.
Okay.
The presentation is incredibly good. And the way the camera moves in certain ways and give you certain angles to shoot them at, I can really recommend a game for young kids because it's very simple to play.
Pac-N-Roll is actually a DS game originally.
Ah, yeah, Pac-N-Roll's pretty good. You know, it's kind of Monkey Ball-esque Pac-Man game.
Yeah.
Not where you're tilting the arena, but you're rolling Pac-Man around these mazes. So it is a game of a certain quality. It's very bright and colourful and fun. And I'd actually go as far as maybe say it's a bit of a hidden gem, because I'd never heard of it.
I had never seen it before you put it in. Like, the cover of it looks weird, because it just looks like a budget title.
Yeah.
But
often you find this, don't you, though, with games that don't look much. And you get stuck in there, and then See, they surprise you.
Yeah, usually that happens. That's why I picked up this Shinodo or whatever the hell it's called, because I hadn't seen it before. I was interested. I also nearly picked up Shadow of Rome because of that. Mm. But, yeah, we'll see how it goes.
Yep. And, you know, other than a few other things like Master Chief Collection, which I played a little bit of.
Fucking hell. The last copy of Namco Museum Remix, probably why we haven't seen it. Maybe it's just that one auction. Oh, no, it's okay. There are copies for it. For under
like a tenner.
Yeah, but yeah. One sold for like 58 quid. Yeah.
It may be a hidden gem of the future.
Perhaps.
So look it up now, people.
Yeah.
It's a good game.
Get Rodea the Sky Soldier on the Wii as well.
I got that for Christmas off my girlfriend.
I know you did. What do you think?
Unfortunately, because I'd already played it. It went more to the bottom of the list of things I needed to play. But very looking forward to getting back onto it. But sadly, because I put it on my shelf with my other Wii games, I forgot to bring it with me.
Oh, Tom.
But I got the collector's edition, which is pretty nice.
Yes.
And I got the extra key ring thing. Oh, nice. Too. That was a nice, really nice gift. And I also got Resident Evil Revelations 2 off Gareth.
Cool.
For PS4.
Speaking of limited editions I picked up, I finally got Xenoblade Chronicles X.
Oh, you did? Yeah.
They had the limited edition one in my local game in Port Talbot.
You haven't played it yet, or what?
No, because I'm a bit intimidated by it, if I'm being totally honest.
RPG.
It's like 80, 90 hours of gaming, man. Yeah. Like, I don't know if I got the time.
What are the reviews like? Have people been liking this
people
game?
People really like it, but it's really dense, is my only thing. And I'm like, if there's an easy mode, I'm just going to play it on easy mode because I haven't got time to grind. I just want to go through it and get the story out of the way and experience it. But I'm going to play a little bit of it before we do our Game of the Year podcast.
Which maybe we hinted that we were going to do this week.
Yeah, but I mean,
think with the sheer amount of stuff that's happened over Christmas, it's been good to have this episode to talk about that.
Unfortunately, I didn't release the podcast where we said we were going to do Game of the Year this week until
darn
now.
It.
So it's okay. No, I think we want to do it next week. But the reason I actually didn't mention to you, so I was going to text you earlier and say, hey, should we do Game of the Year this week?
Oh, yeah.
But I think obviously we should plot our categories so we can have a bit more thought about it than we usually do. Because we're not living together now, like previous Game of the Year podcasts. No. So we've not played the same games, or we've not sat down together and gone like, hey, these are the categories, we need to figure that out.
I certainly remind myself what came out this last year that I've played.
Fucking loads of things. It's a scary year to do Game of the Year because there's so many good games. However, why I didn't do that, why I didn't text you, or why I haven't messaged you over the holidays to say like, hey, maybe we should think about Game of the Year for this podcast,
yes,
is because I want you at home to be involved. I actually want you to tweet at us at Tom and Matt Attack. So TMA Cast on Twitter or tomandmattattack.com/podcast or on Tom and Matt Attack's Facebook, which is facebook.com/TomMattAttack.
Is it?
Yes. and tell us what your Game of the Year is. I want to have a listener Game of the Year and also to see if anyone's still listening. So that'd be nice. Tell us your Game of the Year. Give us a reason why. We will tally up the votes of what Game of the Year people vote for and then maybe give some honourable mentions of tweets we agree with our statements on what Game of the Year is. But it's going to be an interesting one this year because you've probably played a lot of different games to what I've played, even more so than usual because you've not been sat there while I've been dabbling in it, so you haven't really played them. But I don't know. I got a few contenders, I think. I got a few could have been contenders, but we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, so that's something to look forward to, isn't it?
It is. It'll be next week's episode. Maybe we'll do a small regular podcast as well. We'll see how time goes and how long
ambitious
that goes. But wow, sky's the limit, Tom. We'll see how it goes. But yeah, we are now back as well to regular weekly podcasts, I should mention as well. So there will be things coming out weekly for the time being, at least. Mm. So yeah, you can find us at all the previously mentioned places, Twitter at TMAcast, on Facebook, facebook.com/TomMattAttack. Find us on blastprocess.com, but also tomandmattattack.com. While you're at Blast Process, check out some of Tom's pickup videos. There would also be a review of the new shit Darius game up there that I wrote before Christmas. It still hasn't been published because I haven't got rights.
And so I think Squarespace, who Blast Process is now featured on, is very easy to use.
Yes, it's
I
very
found
easy
that over
to
Christmas.
It's so good.
You'll see all the latest Tom Matt Attack posts on blastprocess.com as well.
Yes, you will. You can also find this podcast in iTunes, where you can give it a cheeky rate and subscribe. Please, 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 if there are still people listening after our rather sporadic last half of last year, you.
Let us know.
Let us know you're still listening. Like, I know a few people have tweeted me after the last time I asked this, say, we're still here, but I'm going to push this on my YouTube channel, which is Biographic, my Game Boy channel, to try and get some more listeners back into the fold. And yeah, hopefully we'll be more engaged with you guys in 2016 going forward.
That's the intention.
Yeah, yeah, hopefully. We see how it goes. Until then, though, I think it's time to say
game.
One, two, three.
Oh,
ha 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 ha! Game on.
Go, game on.